Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the Movies, for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's August 2021 in Kabul, Afghanistan. The Taliban is at the city gates and large crowds are congregating at the airport. Some manage to get out, but the women who remain face unheard of restrictions imposed by the Taliban. Restrictions in dress, education, work, and general daily life. There's no school after grade six, women barred from universities, government work, and from most professions, along with freedom of speech, expression, and even congregating in public, leaving some women virtually locked away in their rooms. In the Room is a new NFB documentary about a group of dynamic expat Afghan women who don't fit neatly into their stereotypes. We meet a model, a TV news chief, an influencer, and an actor and activist in this unusual doc. The film is by noted Canadian documentarian Brishke Ahmed, whose work has frequently taken her back to the country of her birth. She's known for films In the Rumbling Belly of Motherland and Story of Burqa. The film had its world premiere just a few days ago at VIFF, but it's already clocking up awards, and it won the Audience Award Showcase in Vancouver and will be having its Toronto premiere on Sunday, October 19th at the Real World Film Festival. And I'm very pleased to have Brishke Ahmed here with us via Zoom to tell us more about In the Room. Hi, Brishke.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Yeah.
So your film opens with footage of the fall of Kabul to the Taliban in 21. Since then, the rights of women there have severely deteriorated, but you've chosen to focus your doc on a group of Afghan women abroad. Why?
Well, you know, Afghanistan has been in war for decades, and so much of the Afghan community lives in the diaspora. And as I was growing up in Canada, these are the five women that I kind of saw in popular culture and that made me kind of respect my Afghan identity, because as a teenager growing up in Canada, I felt a lot of shame about my Afghan identity and it being linked to victimhood and the idea that I'm just an Afghan woman under a burqa.
Well, 25 years ago, I saw the film Kandahar at TIFF. It was called The Sun Behind the Moon when I saw it. And it's about a woman who enters Afghanistan in disguise. And I still remember it very well 25 years later. But why do you feature this film in your documentary?
Because Safar to Kandahar and Niloufar Pazira was the first woman that I saw when I was in Canada as a woman who lifted her burqa, and like the director Mohsen Makhmalbaf framed her as this heroic woman returning back to Afghanistan to help other women. Like, she literally lands in a helicopter. And for me, that image of her was just so strong and so beautifully heroic. And I was like, oh yeah, Afghan women can be like that. And people are going to see her and see me as not being an oppressed Afghan woman. So she was the first sort of point of contact linked to heroism.
So I recently read an article just a few days ago. A news report from Médecins Sans Frontières says that in Herat, all women, including patients and medical staff, have to wear a burqa in the hospital. So we've said the word burqa like three or four times already. So what is a burqa and what role do they play in the lives of the women in your film?
So the burqa is a fabric, yes, right? And it's a fabric that, you know, a totalitarian regime like the Taliban have suggested it to be an Islamic garment, which it is not, because, Daniel, you know, we see women in Islamic nations not cover their face and hands and, you know, feet and things. Right. So it's been misconstrued. And for me, it's a symbol of oppression, because you cannot function in society while wearing a burqa. It makes it challenging to walk, to see, to do anything, really. And it really is the image that has been tied to my Afghan woman identity. And I'm celebrating the women in my film who've all refused to adorn it and have take a stance against it. And it is also, I think, a cloth that's used to, in a way, isolate women to be in their house, in their rooms, because it makes it so difficult to function with it outside. So
In your film, you choose an unusual format for the interviews. Like most documentaries, you go into the person's home or workplace, set up a camera, and you have the talking heads. But here, you construct spaces within a sound stage. So why do you use an explicitly constructed or false or imaginary or created setting?
Yeah, so it's not that the settings are false. They are recreated as reenactments because it was very important for me to situate the women in a familiar space of that moment and time where they kind of broke through in popular culture and caught the globe's attention. Because their experience has been like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 10 years ago, time has passed, and I really wanted our conversation to include some of those sensory details of that time and space that was past, and not our be shaped around just intellect and around the present day breaking news sort of language and feelings. So that's why I recreated those moments and situated each woman in a space that would have been familiar to that exact key moment.
Got it. Okay, let's talk about the women because you interviewed a wide variety of women. Let's start with you have a very striking image, not what we would think of most Afghan women. I believe it's Sahar Parnian is shown wearing boxing gloves. So can you explain that?
So when I met Sahar when I returned in Afghanistan in 2012, and I was working as a director on a legal and police drama, and she was a martial arts artist as an actress and also an actress. And so the first time I saw her, she had boxing gloves on, and she was in the field practicing. And I just clocked her strength and like this fighting back kind of personality. And then I found out that in exile, she lives in London and she frequently does, I think it's called MMA or something like that,
Oh,
but
yeah,
with like,
MMA, yeah.
yeah, exactly. So I just wanted to reveal her as she was to me, this inspiring young woman that fights back all the time. And that is her personality, that is who she is. So when I was talking to her about how we could include her in the film, I simply said, "What do you do in your free time?" And she said, "Oh, I still box." And I said, "Then great, that's what we're going to have you do."
You also interview a TV journalist who's actually the head of the whole news station. I'm sorry about the pronunciation, Shugofa Siddiqui. And so tell us about her work in Kabul and the backlash she faced.
So Shugofa Siddiqui became the news director of Zan TV, which is women's television network in Kabul, the first, 25 years old. Our entire team were young women, younger than her, working as reporters and journalists and reporting on suicide bomb attacks, elections, alongside journalists from the BBC, CNN, and all of that. And all those journalists were vested in wearing bulletproof vests and helmets. And she and her team have nothing like that. But they were equally out there. So when I heard about them, I was just so inspired, and I reached out and I went to and lived in the station for 2 years with her and followed her work and documented their work, which became In the Rumbling Belly of Motherland. And I saw firsthand the misogyny they faced because these were young women that were very, in social media present, and the misogyny online and offline. And I was in awe of their courage and how they continued to report, do their work despite all of
You also
that.
speak to Vida Samadzai, but she is best known, I mean, in retrospect, for a photograph of her wearing a bikini, which made headlines worldwide with quite a reaction to it. Can you talk about her?
So Vida Samadzai was incredibly bold and brave. And so when I found out that there was a Miss Afghanistan contestant in the Miss Earth pageant and that she stepped out in a red bikini for Afghan women, and that, was a time of like the Baywatch era where I thought like, the Pamela Anderson, her red bathing suit were so cool because, every teenage person wants to be cool.
And she's from Vancouver too.
So I just. I, to show flesh, like legs and breasts and arms, I mean, this is an act of activism that is very dangerous. And as a result of it, Vida really suffered. but she still stood her ground and still spoke up for women's rights and, you know, faced a lot of backlash even from her own family. And so I'm just in awe of her courage, you know?
Well, many feminists in the past viewed beauty pageants as sort of regressive, like the legacy of a long gone past that only looks at women for their looks or their posture, not their achievements. So how do you reconcile feminism with beauty pageants?
So in the case of Vida Samadzai's act, which is wearing a red bikini and participating in the Miss Earth pageant, the word is earth, right? I really saw it as a sign of bodily autonomy, which is something that Afghan women lack. So as a feminist myself that usually criticizes the typical Miss America and all of that, I have to say that Vida putting on a red bikini and showing her flesh was telling the world that we Afghan women have bodies and we can have ownership of our bodies and choose how to carry it and live with it. So for me, it was a staunch feminist action.
Okay. Finally, what is the message about Afghan women that you want to show the world through your film?
Well, I'd like the world to see Afghan women in our nuanced, diverse selves. Too often, we are just the women under the blue burqas with no, you know, individual identity, goals, aspirations, stances. And so that's very important for me because I think that the moment the world sees Afghan women in its diversity, they will also be able to connect with us more and understand that wherever you are in the world, there's a part of you that lives in some Afghan woman in whatever way you like to live your life. So, you know, don't isolate us and not see us as you. That's the most important message, because I feel that if they see Afghan women as a part of themselves and Afghan women see themselves in the other women outside of Afghanistan, there's just a better possibility of us linking arms and creating more change for women across the globe.
And that's why I think people should see this film. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
Brishke Ahmed's new film, In the Room, is premiering in Toronto on Sunday, October 19th at the Real World Film Festival. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.